and be a strength and an encouragement and a help to each other, and experience the dynamic that happens only when you are gathered in the name of Jesus and His presence manifests in a special way that you don't experience by your bedside, though this time by your bedside and at your desk or wherever is sweet and crucial and important. There's nothing like it when you get together with fellow believers in true fellowship, in true connection in Jesus, with no agenda, no power struggle, just to seek His power and presence in our lives. Acts 2, 46 and 47, that Emma and Daniel read to us, talks about how things started. This is right after 3,000 people were baptized in one day. And it goes on to tell, so how did these people live their lives as believers in Jesus there in Jerusalem? So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added daily to the church those who were being saved. The Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. So I'm asking you, in our lives, it's individualized, mainly talked about our lives as individuals and how we will be driven to do this because of our desire for our walk with the Lord individually. But I'm asking you right now, don't you want to open these doors more often? Don't you want to make a splash for Jesus? Don't you want to have an influence like we've never dreamed of in this community? Talk about, you know, we talk about the players being in place to make an impact in the world and bringing on the last day's events that we've read about in prophecy and the great controversy, etc. What about what God has lined up here in Lodi to make an impact for Him? You know, with His servants at the schools, with the churches, the Spanish and two English churches. They're having a grief seminar over there. I know many of our members are being blessed there. With a hospital in ministry for Him. Do you want to have the impact in this community that God is setting us up for? Do you want to see people coming to Jesus? Do you want to see people in this community knowing that when there's a need, that the believers from this church and our sister churches are going to be at the forefront of coming through? And by the way, it's starting tomorrow morning, you know, is the fun run. And there is a ministry in this community, and it's starting to be known in this community that this Adventist community comes together and gives to this community. Oh, God wants to build that. Do you want that? Do you want that kind of power of the Holy Spirit? That kind of direction and leading of the Holy Spirit? We've got to do what they did. Look, they met together. They gathered together often. They ate together often, house to house. And who added to the church daily? Were they dragging the people in? No. And the Lord added to the church daily, those who were being saved. Do you want that? Do you want Jesus to come soon? Do you want His gospel of the kingdom to be preached throughout all of the world and then the end of this sin and suffering to come? Let's go after it. There are so many ways, but one way that I believe is so powerful is for us to gather together, to meet together in the name of Jesus, around His Word, praying and sharing each other's needs. Just a survey of the New Testament. We did this, I think, several weeks ago, but I want to review it. House churches in the New Testament. You see, in the New Testament, church life, they didn't have a cathedral. There's no building programs. If you want to build a building, you have to go to the Old Testament and read about the temple, and before that, about the tent. But in the New Testament, you can't find any model for building programs. Here's how they did it in the New Testament. Acts 12:12, we see an example. The house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. That's what was happening when Peter was in jail. They gathered together for prayer in homes. Acts 16:40. So they went out of the prison. This is Peter and John. This is Paul and Silas. So they went out of the prison and entered the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they encouraged them and departed. Where were the brethren gathered? At the house of Lydia. Of course, they met Lydia by the river, where people who were seeking God were gathered to seek God on the Sabbath day in that particular instance. Romans 16:3-5. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. Likewise, greet the church, which literally means the gathering that is in their house. You see how they did this? Colossians 4:15, greet the brethren who are in Laodicea. Welcome. And Nymphas, and the church that is in his house. By the way, some manuscripts have that as Nymphas and the church that is in his house, and some have it as the church that is in her house. Greet the brethren who are, nonetheless, the church, the gathering of believers, was in that house. And then Philemon, verses 1 and 2. To Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer, to the beloved Apphia, Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. We've talked for a long time about small groups, and some of you, many of you, I praise God, are privileged to be part of small groups that meet together regularly during the week, maybe on a Friday night, maybe on a Saturday afternoon, maybe on a Monday, Tuesday, morning, afternoon, etc. I'm going to ask, by the way, at this point, if the deacons would pass out the cards that I have for you, and you can start to look at them. Because we are serious. We as a staff, as leaders in this church, are not content to muddle along in maintenance mode. We're not content to do enough nudging to make sure that the offerings meet the budget and that the tithe levels that bless our conference and bless us with ministry around here are going to stay up and to try and get attendance better and everything. We are not content for that. We want things to go to the full extent, the full level of life that Jesus has planned for us since the creation. We want to have the experience of love, of faithfulness, and freedom that God intends for us here, and the experiencing of brightening our corner in the community around us, lifting up Jesus so that people come to Him, to be full on, to be all the way, to be everything He meant it and means it to be. And we believe that having a culture in our church family where everyone is connected with a small group fellowship, experiencing fellowship that you cannot get on Sabbath morning. You can't come here and get to know people and care for people the way that God intends in His family. It happens as we gather in smaller groups. I envision and dream of a day with small groups all over our community. People gathered, not all have to be studying. Starting on October the 5th, we are going to be, or is it 6th? We are going to be walking along through Hebrews chapter 11 and looking at the characters of the Old Testament referenced there and how they lived lives of faith. We encourage you to participate in that with your small groups if you already have them. If you're already into something, we just want you to be meeting and fellowshipping around God's Word, getting to know each other and strengthening each other in Him. And if you are sensing the call to start a small group or to be part of a small group that you've never been part of, we encourage you, we are offering this as a way that will make it easy for you to get started. This is our dream. This is our desire. This is actually our sense of calling, not of something that would be nice, but something that is necessary for us to be the family of God and the followers of God that He has intended us to be. Remember the promise of Jesus. And I want to ask you, as we look at this promise, Do you want this? Are you willing to do what it takes, which isn't as hard as you think, which is more blessed than you think? Jesus said, Matthew 18:20, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Do you want to experience that regularly, over and over and over? I believe that the life of this church in this building needs to go on as a unified witness in this community. But I believe that the center of the power of what will make that happen as we minister together, as we offer health seminars and everything together, as we invite people to Sabbath morning worship together, happens house to house, just like in the New Testament church in the book of Acts. I believe that the center of where God does his work in our lives is as we meet house to house, in small groups with each other, seeking him and discussing his word and praying together. And more than that, you'll find, maybe as you start out, if you haven't already done this, going to be part of a small group meeting, house to house, and this is because of you, Pastor Roy, watch this, it's going to go from house to house to home, because you will find a sense of belonging, a sense of connectedness, a sense of embrace and power that maybe you didn't even know you had wished for. And so it's 2 minutes into the afternoon, and I'm ready to do the big ask. You have the card. You have a card in front of you. And I want you to look at this, and we're going to be collecting them so that we can start facilitating and planning to help make these small groups, the new ones especially that need to happen, to help make sure that everyone who is answering the call to be part of a small group fellowship is able to be connected in a working and vibrant and living and effective small group. So you'll see what it says. It says, I say yes. I want to be part of a small group committed to growing in Jesus. I sense him calling me to be a, and there's four different roles that you could check. I encourage you to check just one. A participant. You might say, I'm only qualified to be just. Please get rid of that word out of your vocabulary. Anytime you're called to something, it's never just. If it's the call of God to you and that's your place, there's nothing better. I am called to be a participant. Praise the Lord. All right? So, if God is calling you to be a participant, how can you have a group without participants? Tell me. Participants are key. I am called to be a participant, to come and share in the experience. I think you can do this. You just show up with your head and your heart included. All right? And every once in a while, one or the other might be optional, just to be with friends who love you, okay? You just show up, okay? Second, an inviter. That's a person whose role is to invite people to be part of the group. All right? Maybe I could have put them in a different, more logical order, Pastor Roy. Next, a host. Maybe you have a living room or some kind of a space that just is crying out for people to come and show up. But you know, people haven't always held out for one that's crying out for people to show up. You know, people have met in the name of Jesus to great effect in the kingdom of God in some of the most humble places. So whatever you think of your place, just listen to God. As you look at this card, a host, is God calling me to open up my home or some other place that I have to allow people to come and meet together in the name of Jesus. And then a leader, someone who actually leads out in the study and interaction. Now, the fact of the matter is, sometimes people might find themselves able to be both a host and a leader. Some people might do host, leader, inviter. Of course, everybody does participant. But God will let you know. And God will call you. All I'm asking you is find out right now, what is he saying yes? What do you think he's asking you to say yes to? This is not a vow before the Lord. This is what you think God is calling you to right now. And we'd invite you to express that. And you notice it says, of course, we would like your name, your phone number, email, zip code. That's so that we can help figure out places that would be most convenient for people to go to geographically. And then if you can put the best days, maybe one day a week would be the day that would work for you, or maybe there are a couple days that are optional that you could see working, and the best time of day for you on that. And so anyway, we're going to ask you to please fill this out, and in about 1 minute, I'm going to ask you to pass those in so that the deacons can pick them up. And in that time, I just want to bring it down to this again. Do you want what we've talked about? Do you want to have the strongest living relationship with Jesus that you could possibly have, preparing you for his second coming, preparing you for the rest of today to live the life of joy, peace, and love that he's called you to? I encourage you, say yes. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you decided since forever that you wanted us. And you did what it took to have us. You created us, and when we went astray, you sent Jesus to rescue us. And now, Father, we are in a position today, right now, where we're saying, we want you back. And some of us are in a position right now saying, I'm struggling with that. I don't feel that like I feel like I should, but I want to want you, Lord. Oh, Father, answer these prayers right now. Father, I pray that every heart that's reaching out to you right now will get the sense of your open arms, will understand the truth of your offer of forgiveness and of new life that is theirs right now by faith in Jesus. And Father, you've seen us as we've talked about how to connect the way that you envision for us, getting together often to pray, to study your word, to encourage each other, and to minister together. Father, I ask that your Spirit would lead us and guide us in that. Take us to the next level, Father. We want to go. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Could you